And welcome to Yes and Zined Pod. I'm Dan Phipps.
And I'm Kali Laurie. We're from Gem Room Games. And we're your hosts today.
This time, we're talking to Joy Martin of Drowning Moon Studios.
Hi there, Joy, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for interviewing me.
Glad to. Would you like to take a minute to introduce yourself and let us know what you do in the indie tabletop role-playing community?
Sure. So I am the owner of Drowning Moon Studios. Prior to, like, this year, we used to produce like short form LARPs that we put out like on DriveThruRPG, but I decided I was going to get into tabletop a couple of years ago, so I put out a couple of games. I did like Zine Quest last year, and I kind of like where it's been going, so I've been sticking with it.
Today, we're here to talk about Stark Hollow Hall, your entry in Zine Month. Would you give us a bit of an elevator pitch as to what that game's about?
So Stark Hollow Hall is a gothic fiction-inspired tabletop role-playing game. It really prioritizes investigation and exploration. Players are basically playing students of like this isolated Victorian girls' boarding school, and they kind of have to use like their wits and their cunning to find about the school has got so many mysteries like layered on top of each other, so they have to look for clues to solve those particular mysteries.
This sounds like such a rich setting. What's your favorite bit of world lore?
The area that surrounds it is kind of its own character. It's probably my favorite aspect. There's everything from like catacombs to a hedge maze to like, you know, a wild wood. On the grounds, there's like a burnt wing that has all sorts of things in it. The building itself has this kind of sense of like it's watching you. And that's probably like the favorite thing I came up with was it's not just a location, it's literally a character.
Sort of invoking the Shining Overlook Hotel. I mean, the hedge maze comparison, but also just the sort of looming presence of a haunted place.
Yeah, exactly. I'm basically taking all of the gothic fiction tropes that I really love and just kind of pouring them all into this one game. So you've got pretty much everything you can think of under the sun in it.
We were looking at the Indiegogo page for Stark Hollow Hall, and we noticed you're using the Gumshoe system from Pelgrine Press.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not super familiar with it, but I was hoping you could kind of walk through what about that system worked well for the kind of game you're making.
So I chose the Gumshoe system to build off of because it prioritizes investigation and it sort of streamlines it in a way that I don't see in a lot of other games, because it's basically if your character is in the right rules made, there's no mechanical advantage. They just get the answers that they need. They get the clues that they need. And then they can take those clues and kind of use what skills they've got to kind of unravel the mystery that's surrounding them. But I always had problems with games where it was like, there's information for players to find, but you just can't like get to it because maybe you don't have like a high enough skill or trait. And this basically removes that entire aspect of it. It's you're going to get the clues. If you're really good at investigating, you're going to get extra clues on top of it.
For me personally, that is an exciting aspect of how the game works. Having played a very extended Call of Cthulhu campaign that was played pretty straight, there were definitely times where we weren't proceeding or finding ways to progress because the adventure was written in a certain way. So having those considerations kind of baked in mechanically, that you important information isn't hidden behind, oh yeah, you're asking the right questions, but you're rolling really low, so you're not getting the information you need to play.
Yeah.
So like, I can see why that would be something that would help for a claustrophobic mystery like this.
Yeah, that's exactly why I chose it. It helps drive gameplay forward instead of being stuck in like one aspect of the game and you're just not getting what you need to move forward.
So jumping back to the setting for a minute, could you talk to us a little bit about the media touchstones and inspirations you used?
So I majored in English in college, but my concentration was Victorian and Gothic literature. literature, original horror tropes that came up in like Enlightenment and Victorian period Gothic literature. So things like, you know, oppressive castles or manors, creepy staff, you know, just kind of like everything that you would originally think about as part of like a traditional Gothic novel or a Penny Dreadful novel. And a lot of these have actually filtered down into horror tropes that are just common throughout all media. Like, you know, vampires are a big thing that started in Gothic fiction and now they're kind of everywhere. And creepy ghosts that are sending warnings are kind of everywhere. So a lot of it is just kind of going back to that like skeleton, no pun intended, that the entire horror trope catalog is built upon.
So the campaign also mentions that in addition to funding and being able to get the zine itself, there's also a mystery or an adventure called Flowers Withered on the Stem. Without spoiling too much, because I recognize when you're calling something a mystery, like it makes sense to hold some things back. What can you tell us about Flowers Withered on the Stem?
The basic premise behind it is, as your characters who are students of this boarding school, one of your fellow students, somebody that your characters are either close to or they happen to be like, you know, sleeping the next bedroom over, she's started coming down with these kind of delusional, fevered, sleepwalking fits. And for a while, it's just like, you know, the local staff, the teachers, the house staff are just kind of brushing it off and saying, oh, no, she's fine. She's just sleepwalking. But the more she continues, the creepier and weirder things get. It reaches a point where you have to make a decision as the character is like, can we help her or is she just doomed? And there's a lot of stuff that is kind of front loaded, which gives you a couple of different directions you can go to figure out what's happening to her. And depending how invested the characters are in, like, you know, keeping her safe or learning what is going on, there's some additional mysteries about Starkhollow Hall itself that can actually be unraveled through the adventure.
That sounds great, how that could be really responsive to the group of players.
I like having mysteries that have definite like progressions. Like, here's this clue that will lead to this, but I'm also a big proponent of giving players a lot of agency in their games, and we kind of have a saying, which is like, the game is where the player is looking. And so if the player wants to go in a specific direction, you have these things that they can find when they go that way. But if they want to take a different route, you can still get to the same place.
So you had mentioned that you, beyond, you know, more recent horror tropes, but it had an opportunity to explore the sort of original horror fiction that inspired a lot of that. Is there anything in particular that inspired Flowers Withered on the Stem?
There is, but I actually can't give that away because it would spoil the mystery.
Fair
I'm
enough.
Sorry.
Do not search for this book on Wikipedia. It made me think of, this is obviously much more recent, Kali read Mexican Gothic recently.
Oh, yes. I love that book.
And I was a little lukewarm on the premise, and then a couple of chapters, and she's like, no, you can't have it until I finish it, but it gets gross real fast. You are going to enjoy this one. And
I was right.
That was a correct assessment. The sleepwalking, the sort of hallucinatory kind of, I also don't want to spoil that book.
The almost unreliable narrator, because yeah, the narrator is even doubting themselves.
Mexican Gothic is obviously, you know, part of the Gothic tradition, and I read it recently. It's an amazing book. If other people want to read it, go find it. It's just like a perfect textbook example of what really good Gothic fiction is. And things like that, things like Guillermo del Toro's Crimson Peak, which is like a Gothic horror movie. It's kind of filtered down, but I definitely like the more romantic aspect of Gothic fiction, where it's like, you know, it's not full of jump scares and overt violence. It's instead like this kind of being swept away on this kind of spooky mystery that might be supernatural, might not be supernatural. We'll find out.
The horror is a bit more in the ideas than the jump scares.
Exactly.
Thinking about like taking this subject matter and this very particular tone, it seems like a disservice to call it pseudo horror. But when I think of horror, I think like straight, this is going to scare you, as opposed to set a mood and have this very romantic exploration of theme and of place. Did you end up making any sort of mechanical adjustments to Gumshoe to kind of hit those themes harder? Or did you find that Gumshoe kind of had it in it from the jump?
It definitely has a good framework to work from. I did make some adjustments to the system, obviously, because I'm building up their SRD. But one of the things that I really like, for example, is that the attributes that the characters have, which kind of like dictates how well or how poorly they do on specific challenges, I named them things like pluck and comportment and all of these things that like were expected of young ladies in the Victorian era, but they're kind of used for a different purpose. Like if you have comportment, it makes you better at like socialization and getting information out of people. With pluck, it means that, you know, you're a little tougher. You're like not quite as afraid, perhaps. So things like that, I thought it was an interesting way to kind of like make the system my own.
Given that you did make it your own to some extent, what's your favorite bit of game tech?
That's a hard question. You alone are not solving the mystery. You have other people with you, and you can build upon what they're doing to assist them or to learn new things. It's kind of a cooperative style of play, which helps lead you in specific directions and lets you like feel like you're part of like a group or a team that is figuring out this mystery and supporting each other while you're doing it.
You mentioned at the very beginning that you had some experience in the LARP scene. Did any of those games affect the mechanics or aspects of how you wrote Stark Hollow Hall?
A little bit. So like before I started publishing games, I was running LARPs and like a Lovecraftian universe. I took some of the stuff I learned about like crafting a good mystery, because especially if you're doing something like a LARP, you have to be able to get the information that you want out to people and let them extrapolate upon it, because you don't have like rolls of the dice that you can say, hey, you get this advantage here. It has to be baked into the system and baked into the play from just the very beginning. So using that kind of background, I was thinking about, I would like to kind of have the same idea where it's just, you can find out these things if you need to, if you want to, and if not, there's other things that you can discover.
So a big question and a reason we're here, tell us about your crowdfunding campaign.
Okay. So we are funding on Indiegogo, and it's starting on February 17th and goes through March 3rd, which I think is 15 days. It's a very, very simple campaign. There's the adventure, which you mentioned, Flowers Withered on the Stem, but there's no stretch goals. So if we fund, about the only thing I'm going to do is like for every $100 we make over the original funding total, I'm going to donate 10 community copies. So people who either can't afford it or are marginalized or just want their own copy of the game but don't want to pay me for it, they can have it. So I'm hoping we actually do well enough that I can get like, I don't know, like 50 additional copies, but that's kind of like pie in the sky sort of thing.
Well, we're actually scrolling through your Indiegogo page while talking to you, and the art is so evocative. I was wondering both where you got this art and if this is what people might be able to expect in the zine.
The art that you can see on the Indiegogo page is very indicative of what the art is going to be throughout the zine. Most of it is based on stock art, but manipulated. I do this thing called digital collage, where I take a piece and then I alter it, and then I layer something on top of it and I alter that and so forth. The cover is actually a really good example of this, because the cover with the woman with the candelabra, that's actually a photograph that I manipulated.
That's pretty cool. I'm actually rather fond of digital collage for our works as well. It's a really good way to take sort of a raw material that might be more recognizable and turn it into something that's really your own and suits the tone of your own project.
Exactly. And most of the art that I'm using is royalty free, with the exception of the cover image. That one I actually paid a license to get images, so I could basically take it and change it to what it is and then use it for commercial purposes.
I was hoping to ask you about I wanted to invite you to talk a little bit about the haunt tier that comes with a mystery box. What can someone who backs at that level expect to get?
The haunt tier, the mystery box that comes with it, is specifically tied to Flowers Withered on the Stem. And everything that is in that box is a clue of some sort. It can either be to the solving, or it's related to something about Stark Hollow Hall as a whole. I have a background in costuming and prop design, and I make a lot of clothing and a lot of like little toys and things. And I like the idea of creating this kind of ephemera that was very specific to the game, because there's something about being able to like hold something in your hand while your character's discovering it. And there are some little surprises hidden in the mystery boxes themselves that may not directly relate to the Flowers Withered on the Stem adventure, but may just be like little Easter eggs and things that they can find.
Well, that sounds like a great box. And having an artifact to go with something is always so fun because it kind of makes the game that much more real for you.
That's exactly how I think as well. And I like making things. So it's a little bit of an experiment for me. I don't know if people are actually going to go for it. But if they do, I'm really excited to be able to make the boxes and send them out.
That sounds extremely cool. Yeah, that's exactly the kind of stuff I hope that we're able to, with our own work, are able to start getting into, is that artifact aspect of it and the implied storytelling in it.
Mm-hmm. It definitely can make the game.
So Joy, where can people find you online?
So you can find Drowning Moon Studios, which is the studio I publish under, and that's very simple, drowningmoonstudios.com. On Twitter, we're at drowningmoonrpg. And for me specifically, if you want to find me on Twitter, I am at Honey in Hedgerow. It's not Honey and, it's Honey in, because Twitter has a weird character link thing for names.
All right, so all that remains for tonight is for us to say thank you very much for coming on Yes Indeed Pod. And we hope you have fantastic luck with your crowdfunding campaign.
Thank you very much. And thank you for doing this interview.
Thanks for listening. And thanks again to Carly, Dan, and Joy for the interview. As always, you can find all of the links in the episode description. Today's episode is sponsored by Raphael Falk of Games Garden. You are a lucid dreamer, able to affect change in the waking world and the myriad realms of dreams. Take whatever form your heart desires, unleash your imagination. In the sea of dreams, anything is possible. But be on guard, not everything that happens in dreams stays in dreams forever. Lucid is a rules-light hackable RPG about lucid dreamers. Play as a standalone or attached to your favourite setting/system. It is the debut project for Games Garden Games and Raphael Falk, inspired by dreams, nightmares, Jewish folklore, and more. Best for a GM and 1-6 players. Sweet dreams. To complement the Yes Indeed Pod event, all through February, Yes Indeed Pod is running a Patreon drive. We're trying to hit $200 per month so that we can continue to pay all of our guests as well as hire a podcast transcriber. If you sign up during February, on top of the usual benefits of being a subscriber, you can also get some exclusive merchandise. Sign up at $2 to get a handwritten postcard, as well as regular shoutouts and access to our guest and subscriber Discord server. At $5 per month, you can also join our monthly editing and chat streams, and I'll send you a handwritten greetings card and your choice of Yes Indeed Pod stickers. And at $20 per month, join our book club, where every month you get free PDFs from one of our guests. As well as a greetings card and stickers, you'll also get an exclusive, personalised faux leather bookmark for your RPG reading. So remember, if you love Yes Indeed Pod and want to support what we do and get some exclusive merchandise, be sure to check out patreon.com/yesindeedpod. If you can't commit regularly, you can always help out by rating and reviewing the show wherever you find your podcasts, or by donating through the Ko-Fi page at ko-fi.com/yesindeedpod. Of course, you can always reach out to me through Twitter at yesindeedpod, that's YESINDIEDPOD. I'd love dearly to hear from you. Lastly, music credits. All music is adapted from Nothing Like Captain Crunch from Slam Funk by The Groat for Free, available on the Free Music Archive and released under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 Unported License. Until next time, remember, does indie need you? Yes, indeed.